Holland concludes that ultimately, corruption in the Republic threatened to putrefy the world. The American record has been comparable. The Bush administration waged preventive war against Iraq, putrefied that country through incompetence and massive corruption, and in the process produced global revulsion against the United States, similar to the world of enemies that eventually overwhelmed the Roman Empire. Even after two millennia, there is little agreement on which of the multitude of comparisons Rome evokes are the most important, but perhaps the one most relevant to present-day America concerns how empire and its inescapable companion, militarism, subtly and insidiously erode the foundations of a republic. The United States took many of its key political principles from its ancient predecessor. Separation of powers, checks and balances, government in accordance with constitutional law, a toleration of slavery, fixed terms in office, the presidential veto, Latin for I forbid, all of these ideas were influenced by Roman precedents. John Adams and his son John Quincy Adams often read Cicero, and both spoke of him as a personal inspiration. The architects of the new American capital were so taken with Rome that they even named the now filled-in creek that flowed where the mall is today the Tiber River. Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, in writing the Federalist Papers to argue for the ratification of the Constitution, signed their articles with the pseudonym Publius Valerius Publicola, who was the third consul of the Roman Republic and the first to personify its values. Yet, as Holland notes, by the first century B.C., there was only one free city left, and that was Rome herself. And then Caesar crossed the Rubicon, the Republic imploded, and none was left at all. As a result, 1,000 years of civic self-government were brought to an end, and not for another 1,000 and more would it become a living reality again. The Roman Republic failed to adjust to the unintended consequences of its imperialism, leading to drastic alterations in its form of government. The militarism that inescapably accompanied Rome's imperial projects slowly undermined its constitution, as well as the very genuine political and human rights its citizens enjoyed. The American Republic has, of course, not yet collapsed. It is just under great strain, as its imperial presidency and its increasingly powerful military legions undermine Congress and the courts. However, the Roman outcome, turning over power to a dictator backed by military force, welcomed by ordinary citizens because it seems to bring stability, suggests what might well happen sometime in the future as a result of George Bush's contempt for the separation of powers. Obviously, there is nothing deterministic about such a progression, and many prominent Romans, notably Brutus and Cicero, paid with their lives trying to head it off. But there is something utterly logical about it. Republican checks and balances are simply incompatible with the maintenance of a large empire and a huge standing army. Democratic nations sometimes acquire empires which they are reluctant to give up because they are a source of wealth and national pride, but their domestic liberties are thereby put at risk. This book is continued on Disc 3.